KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy Trails to you.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County, and a chance for us to wrench our eyes away from the fascination of all the drama going on at the National Republican Convention. Joining us on the phone this morning, we have got Jessica Hall and Kevin Hoover. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, indeed. So, Kevin, you did quite the hike on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Yes, it was quite a hike. It was quite an exercise in problem solving and altitude adaptation, and it's really an omnibus experience. It tests every part of your brain and your body.
I'll bet. And Jessica, you're the one who set this up, so I think you probably have some key questions you wanted to ask Kevin about this.
Well, I was just really fascinated when I learned that Kevin was going to drop everything and hit the trail, and for a number of months. Like, I think you were planning a 3 or 4 month journey, and I really admire the fact that someone would just do that. And so I thought, you need to come on air and talk about why you did that, what it's doing for you to separate from society like that, and just tell us about your experience.
Sure, sure. Well, for background, as you may know, I've been working on one weekly newspaper or another basically every week since 1992. I mean, once we formed the Mad River Union, I was able to get away here and there. But, yeah, I was still checking email. I was still forwarding things. I was still – so I really needed – and I was – you know, I was developing – as much as I love my work, I think anyone can develop a case of kind of job burnout or get into a rut. And I really needed to just get away. And what better way to do it than to go out into an isolated, wilderness where you're largely out of touch with everything, your normal response patterns – are broken up, your normal, the rut that you're in. In fact, you very quickly forget what day of the week it is, which is kind of a major achievement for somebody who's so schedule-driven as myself. And that part really worked well. I managed to detach from my existence, and something that I had hoped would happen, which is that Arcata would become a strange, exotic, and very appealing place to behold from afar, did occur. So now I'm, just bursting to get back and, start over again. When I do get back at the paper, we're going to kind of talk about what I do and what I can do. And it's a chance to sort of reboot, everything I do.
It's like hitting the reset button there.
Yeah. No, the fact is probably after a week or two, I'll just be back in my same old rut. But hey, it'll be a great week, before that happens.
I've had experiences like that before where it does feel like a reset, where you've kind of rebooted the system, and it feels great. It really does.
It does. And so does being out on the Pacific Crest Trail. I just want everyone to know, in the broadest sense, there's a place here in California that you can get to with basically a day's transportation on a combination of nice buses and nice train cars that will deliver you, like I say, to a place where everything is different. The normal conventions of society are turned on their heads. And all that tension that we experience in our urban and even our suburban environments is gone. It's different out there. People behave differently toward each other. We're all in it. When you're on the trail, you all have the same needs. You need water. You want shade, maybe sometimes, from the sun. You want to know what the trail conditions are. You want to know if somebody just saw a bear and her cubs just up the way, which happened to me on my last day on the trail. People have common interests, and they treat each other very, very well on the trail. Like I say, normal conventions are turned on their head in many ways. And I know that this world is now available to me at any time. Just by committing to a day's transportation, I can go somewhere where everything is different. And in fact, you don't even use your name. As you may know, part of the trail culture is having a trail name. So mine was Spiral, for want of anything better. But I met all kinds of people, from Snot Rocket to Thunder Pass to I mean, you can redefine yourself from everything down to your name. It's great. It's very liberating.
Did you name yourself or did they name you?
I did. I named myself because, well, I didn't want to be named. One girl's name is Bathroom Hugs.
Yeah.
There are some other rather unfortunate ones that you can't say on the radio. But most of them are fanciful and playful and fun. But, yeah, I picked Spiral because why not?
Why not, indeed. So, now the Pacific Crest Trail is very, very large. And you're talking about, you know, running into people. How often did you run into people?
You know, first of all, let me say this. How often do you run into people?
Mm-hmm.
Let me answer that. But first, I want to just say I hiked about 170 miles of this 2,400 mile trail.
Uh-huh.
I'd planned to do actually 10 times that much, but I had a medical issue, which I'm happy to talk about if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say my experience is limited. Basically, I simply dipped my toe in the trail in a couple of segments in California. So everything I know is based on fairly limited experience, but I think it kind of, you can extrapolate it to the larger trail. At the same time, and I'm not representing anybody, I'm not representing any official trail organization. I'm really only talking about my own idiosyncratic experiences. So based on that, how often do you see people?
Mm-hmm.
All the time. The Pacific Crest Trail is not one, and the John Muir Trail, which I was also on,
mm-hmm.
in places, they're the same trail. You it's not somewhere you go for solitude, because you will see people as frequently as every 5 minutes. Or
wow.
I think the longest I ever went without seeing anybody was about 2.5 hours. But you will always see people. And that's kind of a good thing, too, if you're, the Sierras are the big leagues. This isn't
right.
The Arcata Community Forest. This isn't even the Trinity Alps, although it does go through there. This is the Sierras. This is the big league. You need to have your skills, your equipment, and everything top-notch and have some good experience if you want to navigate that thing. Now, that said, I mean, it's not like you're, going through some unmaintained trail in Africa
right.
or something like that. It's by and large, it's... You can't get lost, although, of course, I did a few times. But if you have basic, navigational skills, map and compass, and or many of the online GPS resources, which work even when you're not within cell service, you're not going to get lost. Nonetheless, it can be challenging. So you want to have your skills at the peak. At the same time, if you got in trouble, somebody would be along. Chances are you wouldn't bleed to death or whatever, even if something bad did happen, which it generally doesn't.
And you make a good point, that is, of course, very true as long as you're staying on the path. If anyone's to get off the path and get in trouble, that would be a problem.
Right,
hey,
as happened
Kevin.
To that poor lady who went off trail at the AT a while back. Yes, Jessica.
Oh, I was going to say, how many days did you go between actual habitations, so like villages or some of the places where you might go to pick up your mail? How many
sure.
days were you kind of on the journey between spots?
I think about 10 days was the longest I went between resupplies. And then there's a stretch. There are some long stretches, which I didn't take, get on, or do entirely. But, if you go from, if you get on at Cottonwood Pass, you can walk all the way up to Kearsarge Pass, which, and then beyond that, you're, so essentially there are stretches in the Sierra where you can go 7 to 9 or more days depending on your rate of speed. It's not really a problem. It's sort of a problem in that they require you to carry a bear canister and keep all your food in that, which is, there's limited space in there. So you have to really select, high calorie density food that you may or may not be extremely fond of. And you've got to try and pack it all into the bear canister. That said, I should address a sort of a duality between reality and what the official version is. You're supposed to keep all your food in your bear canister, your garbage, all your, even your toothpaste, anything that smells, has any fragrance at all, or else animals will be attracted to it. I haven't met anybody who actually does that. Many people have, these odor containing, I think they're called lock sacks, these super heavy duty Ziploc bags. So they put their food in that, and then they might put it inside an ursack, which is a bear resistant bag. And they actually, I don't want to say most because I didn't formally survey everyone, but very many people actually sleep with their garbage and stuff in their tent on the theory that California black bears won't mess with tents. that I'm not going to give out bad advice or recommend that, but it kind of seems like it's true. There's very few negative animal interactions, even though all these people are keeping their food in their tent as well as their bear canister. But that's not what you want to do. What I did was I kept, because you have garbage, you know. I mean, inevitably you have garbage. Sometimes, you know, I mean, you've got food wrappers, you've got napkins, you've got non-biodegradable wipes. You may even have toilet paper, and you may even have poop that you want to pack out, which they recommend doing in some places. So you've actually got to carry all this waste around with you if you're ethical. Of course, it's all sealed up, double, triple bagged, and everything like that. Nonetheless, I mean, bears' sense of scent is better than their eyesight. I mean, they're down to smelling individual molecules. I mean, it's what they do. So they're going to be attracted to that. Two guys, two gentlemen from Korea, had the mistake of putting garbage in their backpacks, and they had their bear canisters, and they were in Tuolumne Meadows. They came into the hostel I was staying in Mammoth Lakes, and yeah, there were big holes ripped in their backpacks. They said they could hear the bears messing with their bear-proof bear canisters outside, and then they went to the garbage, which was inside their backpacks. Very foolish to do that. It's very bad for the bears, too. You know, if they get habituated to people, fed animal is a dead animal. So, you know, you really owe it to yourself to try and follow the rules and keep the food and the animal attractants to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question also. You mentioned, you know, some medical problems that you had. Worth talking about, because, I mean, the thing is, you know, we all, you know, plan on having a perfect trip. Sometimes things go wrong, and how you deal with it, how you adapt.
Sure.
And you did have to adapt. So I want to hear about that.
You know, the entire trail backpacking is an exercise in problem solving, from trivial routine problems. Where am I going to get my water? Where, which campsite? Which will I find a flat tent site? Can I find one that doesn't have a dead tree next to it that with widowmaker limbs falling on me? I mean, constantly problem solving. Can I make this stream crossing? How will I keep my socks dry? The sun's too hot. Should I put up my umbrella? Where's my sunscreen? Just constantly solve. And there's a joy in that. The bigger problems are the unexpected ones. I met so many people of all ages who had knee problems, you know, back problems, or in my case, foot problems. What happened to me on the very first leg, I got 56 miles in on the Southern California, you know, from the Mexican border up to a place called Pioneer Mail Picnic Area, when I had developed a case of plantar fasciitis, which is inflammation of the very sole of your foot, this big cord of tissue that connects your heel with the rest of your foot. And I'll tell you, folks, this thing is like, literally it feels like somebody's beating the bottom of your feet with a hammer.
Wow.
I mean, every footfall is, and the reason this happened was it's my own fault. I mean, the shoes were good. I didn't really replace the insoles. It bugs me that you have to spend $100 or more on a really good set of shoes or boots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the unspoken thing is the insoles are crap. You have got to go buy a set of, there are all kinds. You can get the Dr. Scholl's, the Super Feet. There are many different brands. I neglected to do that on my initial set of shoes, and they weren't fully broken in either. So I developed these just terribly unsightly, you can see the pictures on my Facebook page going back a few months, terribly unsightly gouges where my the shoes were digging in my feet. But worse was the plantar fasciitis. I had to get off trail, come back to the Bay Area where I am now, and I went to a sports medicine clinic where they treat runners and dancers for plantar fasciitis. And I was their first hiker, but the treatment's the same. So, hey, here's for modern medicine. You know, I could have just taken turmeric tinctures and homeopathic sugar pills, but no, I actually got real medical treatment. And it worked. I would never have dreamed that this condition would go away through the therapy, you know, through the physical therapy and through the exercises they made me do, which were incredibly boring and repetitive, but I did them. And it cured it. And so I was able to get back on trail within about 6 weeks.
So a six-week break to let your feet heal, and you were back on it.
I was back on it in the Sierras, and there was no recurrence of the plantar fasciitis. That I can I was less surprised by it going away. It's a very curable and treatable condition. A lot of people said it took a few days. Others said it took them 6 months to get over it. It took me about 3 to 4 weeks, and then I was back. But anyway, I was back on trail. And I, I, t- take your feet seriously is my advice. Mm-hmm. Get the good insoles. Break in your boots. I went back to the system that always served me well and never gave me any trouble in the 90s when I was backpacking, which is the liner socks, the wool socks. I used boots, and I had two sets of insoles, the Superfeet, not plugging that brand. There's others. And then I also had a special plantar fasciitis insole, and it was no problem at all. Other people had, like I say, difficulties with their back, or, you know, this or that extremity. So that was my thing. But, you know, doing that, interrupting the hike that way kind of blew away my initial mileage goal.
Sure.
So after that, when I got on the trail, it was kind of more freestyling, and I had a whole lot of fun both going on the trail, but also going into the trail towns along on 395 there and along the Sierras, you know, Lone Pine, Independence, Bishop, Mammoth Lakes, and kind of hitchhiking around. It was kind of fun being, you know, a very well-equipped urban traveler with my backpack. And so, you know, I never knew where I was going to sleep. Well, I sometimes knew, but often I didn't know where I was going to sleep at any given night, either on the trail or in the urban environment, how I was going to get from one to the other. And if I may, just for a sec, there's an this goes back to what I was saying. There's another world available to us here in California, and it's the trail. The culture is so incredibly benevolent and great, and just, I mean, if you're a hiker, I never waited more than 15 minutes for a ride, and I met some of the most amazing people, and the degrees of separation thing is also amazing. I met fans of a guy who was a big Mr. Bungle fan who lived in Eureka in the 80s, knew Mike Patton, would hitchhike up to Arcata all the time. I met other people who knew people I know in Arcata, and I just had great conversation. I got a ride from a big Donald Trump fan. We had a really good talk, you know. I mean, you meet all kinds of people, but there's a benevolence and an indulgence and a caring that you don't see in your everyday life. It all has to do with the trail culture.
Fantastic. Well, you're in some of the most beautiful spots in California. I did a lot of backpacking when I was younger in the High Sierra, and that is a beautiful spot to go hiking. And your word about taking care of your feet, very important. You know, that's one thing I learned quickly. I actually, you know, I made the mistake once of getting new boots and then going out and doing a big backpacking trip. That was such a mistake. You want them really broken in.
Yeah, and I just want to point out to people something I learned, and I'm going to continue my hike, even though I only did about a tenth of the mileage that I initially planned. There's no reason why you can't section hike, and I really urge everyone to do this. Pick a portion of the trail. There's a very abundant resources. There's multiple Pacific Crest Trail Facebook pages. There's tons of online documentation and resources. Pick a section of trail you think is copacetic with your skill set and go and experience this wonderful thing. Like you say, Cliff, there are so many underwear dissolving views along this trail. I mean, it is like you could go 3 miles a day if you took a picture of every single thing. And the thing about them is it's like the Mandelbrot or those graphics, the Mandelbrot set, you know, you zoom in and the level of detail stays the same. So you could just sit. I sat for 15 minutes one day and just stared at this insane tree that was just all mutated with all the colors and textures. And really, it's just ridiculous, the scenery out there.
Well,
it's
like
nothing you've ever seen.
That's true. There's a reason why Ansel Adams used to hang out in that area.
Yeah,
it's
the
amazing.
Ansel Adams Wilderness is just amazing. That was the last place that I was just the other day. It's just amazing how quickly you can get from trail to an urban environment. When I wanted to get off trail last week, within 1 hour, I was sitting in a pizza place. Of being on the PCT, I was sitting in a pizza place in Mammoth Lakes having a piece of pizza. So you can go back and forth. In fact, it's almost too easy. I met a guy named Mobius who complained that he couldn't stay on the trail. He kept sliding off and going into the trail towns with all their wonderful burritos and IPAs and things like that. So that's always a temptation you want to keep in under control.
Yeah. All right, well, Kevin and Jessica, we are pretty much out of time, but is there anything we need to touch on before we wrap this up?
I would just say check up PCTA.org. That was one of the three charities that I hiked for them, the Arcata Ridge Trail and the Children's Dental Angel Fund. The Pacific Crest Trail is open and available to people of all ages and skill sets. It's very easy to get to, and it's just a wonderland. Go.
Good advice.
Thanks, Kevin. I have a thing, Cliff.
Yeah.
There's a meeting tonight at Cooper Gulch Park There's a community group looking to do a master plan that would vision the future of Cooper Gulch, and that includes rethinking the trail system within the park. And this is just a check-in meeting to let people know where this committee is in terms of its planning, but I just want to let people know that the meeting is on. It's at 5:30.
Okay.
And members of the public would be welcome.
Excellent. Jessica, thanks so much for pulling this together. And Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time and sharing your experience. Sounds like it was wonderful.
Thanks for the opportunity, Cliff. And thank you, Jessica.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on air.
Sure. This conversation on Happy Trails, you'll find podcasts shortly at iTunes and at KHUM.com.
Happy Trails to you.